Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Great to be back with you this morning. It has been a busy week with all the hubbub going on with the LCMS convention, but also a busy week for our guest this week as we've been talking with parents in demanding careers. And today, another great guest as we tackle the question of whether or not he puts out more fires at home or at work as we talk with firefighter Corey Wysocki today. It's going to be great to have him on as our guest in just a little bit. I'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, for making sure that this show happens so that you can hear all about these parents and in demanding careers, but all the other topics that we get to cover here on Faith and Family. So if you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, you can visit our website, kfuoam.org, and go to the sponsor section and click on Concordia University, and you can find out more about them there. Well, today we're talking with firefighter and husband and father, James Wysocki. James, welcome. Hi there. Glad to have you with us today. And so, James, I know that Corey, I believe, will be joining us. Your wife will be joining us a little later on as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. How's the weather looking up there? Are you in Rockford or Schaumburg today?
I am in Rockford. It is a beautiful day. No air conditioning on. Got the windows open, blowing in that nice cool air.
It's about the same here in St. Louis. 74, beautiful, and sunny skies. It's a great day. So, it's probably a bit more relaxing than a typical day for you at work, though, I guess, huh?
There are some busy days, yes, but it tends to average itself out. Yesterday, we had a pretty moderate day during work, but then we usually consider those to be the calm before the storm, because usually when we have a calm day, for some reason, it ends up we have a busy night. So, in a 24-hour period, we do get our fair share of calls.
So, James, you serve as a firefighter in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is probably a pretty big area. What type of area do you cover?
You know, we have five different stations in the city of Schaumburg, and each one has a unique response area. My response area is a very high percentage of just residential homes, and one of our highest response area in my response district is in a retirement home with both independent, assisted, and nursing home type facilities there. A couple of hundred senior citizens live there. And some of the other stations have Woodfield Mall, which is rivals the Mall of America up in the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
I've been there.
And then, yes. And there are quite a few hotels that we have and restaurants, and we cover a major portion of I-90 and Route 53. So we have many travelers that come through our town and many travelers that stop, you know, as an oasis in our town to just, you know, get out and stretch their legs, eat at a restaurant, go through the mall real quick on the way up to Wisconsin or east to west, wherever they may be headed. So we do have our fair share of out-of-towners that we serve as well.
So you cover quite a big area and a lot of people, and it sounds like a pretty daunting task, actually. Sounds like a lot of hard work.
Well, we never know who we're going to encounter.
and speaking of, you know, never knowing who we're going to encounter, we'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation today as well. If you're listening and you would like to join the conversation talking with James Wysocki, firefighter, about his life as a firefighter and a husband and father, you can join our conversation in the studio at area code 314-821-0850 or outside of the St. Louis area, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us here at the studio at family@kfuo.org. So, James, tell us, what was the path that led up to you becoming a firefighter? I know you didn't start off, that wasn't your first full-time career. How did you end up becoming a firefighter?
Well, in the history of my family, there have been two firefighters before me. My dad was a volunteer firefighter before I could remember. He stopped doing that when I was a toddler age, but done it before and while I was born there. And my uncle retired a few years back from full-time service after 24, 25 years in the service. So anytime we would visit for holidays, you know, depending upon the rotation of the schedule, he may or may not have been on for the holidays. So we were always visiting in firehouse and climbing on the apparatus and doing those types of things.
So, you're always around it.
I've always been around it. I also knew, though, that to become a career firefighter, it's not just a handout. And there are guys and girls that will go many years of testing for many departments and for one reason or another not get the job. And I decided that it would probably be a good idea to get a degree in something else other than fire science. And I was always, and still am, good with children. So I decided to get my teaching degree, and I went to Concordia River Forest at the time, and I did my four-year bachelor's and taught fifth grade for 4 years in one town. And then I left, received another call to out in Rockford where I live, and taught there. I was during my third year of teaching that I moved on to be a firefighter. It was the summer before, though, the influence of having our first daughter. She was born in January of 2007, and I like to say she didn't really know me for the first 5 months of her life because I was teaching, and anybody that has a regular job that only get to see their children in the evening know what I'm talking about. And so
we have a teacher coming up this week who's going to talk about that.
Yeah. So I would get home in the evening, and she'd be crabby and, you know, want mommy, and I'd get the leftovers. And so in the summertime, I got to, you know, bond with her, and I was always feeding her, and I was taking her places, and we were having a great time. And I looked at my wife, Corey, and I said, I don't want this to stop. I said, it's not that I necessarily want to leave teaching. I said, but I've had this firefighter thing in the back of my mind, and I think it's time to act upon it to see if it's for me. And I was a volunteer at the time, and so that would be, I'd do my regular teaching job, and I could respond in the middle of the night to a fire call or accident or whatnot. And it wasn't on me because it wasn't my gig, you know, rear. I would respond only when available. So I decided that I needed to start applying for fire department jobs so that I didn't reach the average cutoff age for fire departments of 35, and the door closes, and I would have never known. I didn't want to reach 40 and say, what if? And so I was 28 at the time and started applying, and I knew God's influence in my life in many different ways, but just to see how every door was double wide open and every path was well lit and very wide, to just take me right to the fire department. And there was never a doubt in my mind that I was going against his calling for me or trying to pursue something else he didn't have in his will for me. So it was very easy. And when it came time to break the hearts of my 18 fifth graders at the time, it still was hard, but being able to explain God's call to them and the dealings with the Spirit was a little bit easier.
And I would imagine in your new career, you still have opportunities to teach and to be an educator.
Absolutely. I still, at times, have been substitute, like for the general classroom teaching, but there's always people that have different certifications that you can share knowledge with or gain knowledge from. And then now in my new position, I'm in a different fire department than I was when I first started. There have been a wave of people hired after me, some of them with experience, some of them with no experience. And it's just so natural for me to be able to teach as I did coming out of college that I thoroughly enjoy when they say, hey, can you show me how to do this? Absolutely. And that brings me a lot of fun.
Are you the person they call on when a community event comes up and they need someone to teach or lead an activity for an educational activity for kids?
I've been in two departments. When I was with Belvedere, yes, they called on me for that quite often. I volunteered for it. It was, you know, like I said, very natural for me to do, and it was in the town next door. It's now an hour commute for me to go from Rockford to Schaumburg, and so I haven't volunteered for those positions quite so much, but I do use my teaching skills in being a CPR instructor for our fire department.
Now, you mentioned you have an hour commute. What does a typical week look like for you in terms of schedule? Are you on a couple of days and off a couple of days, or what kind of hours do you keep?
With our fire department, you work for 24 hours, and you're off for 48 hours. And so my weeks are either Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday, or the Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday work week. And shift starts at 8, but it's a courtesy to get there early to relieve the person whose spot you're taking on the rig. And I usually get there between 7 and 7:15. We get our gear together and get our uniform on and go through the shift. And then, you know, I look for the same thing when I'm getting off, somebody who's coming in to relieve me, and then the hour drive back home. The nice part about it is that, this will transition into probably some of your other questions, I'm able to have this hour drive, and I can diffuse, and I can leave some of the things that I've encountered at work, so to speak. And I don't have to, I'm not bringing these things home on my shoulders into my family life, which is very beneficial. I don't, you know, I don't have to diffuse with my wife, Corey, as I walk in the door, like I once did when I worked in the town next to me, and it was a 10-minute commute. And I'd get off work, and I'd still have these things on my mind when I'd come home. So that hour commute, though it can be taxing at times, it's not twice a day, it's not every day, and so I can use it to my advantage.
Sure, and for me, I'm one of those verbal people and always have to, if I'm diffusing things, have to say it out loud. Now, you've got an hour-long drive. Are you talking to yourself out loud in the car?
There are times that I do that, yes. But one of the ways, one of the reasons why I'm in a different fire department now is my previous department, due to the economy and budget cuts, my position was no longer there, and I was laid off 2 years ago. And it was one of those, you know, moments where you're not sure, you know, okay, God, what's going on here? And we worked through that. But getting hired in Schaumburg, was blessed from the get-go to have a lieutenant who is a Christian as well. And we homeschool our daughters. And so I found out that he homeschooled all five of his children. So just having that, and he was my lieutenant since the day I got hired, and he will be until this coming January. So to have my first 2.5 years working with him has been great. Another huge blessing is that out of all five stations with 100-plus people I work with, I end up being on the same shift at the same house as a guy that lives in the same town as I do. So to be able to share the commute, mm-hmm. and to save on gas and save on oil changes and tires and wear and tear on the vehicles, and then to have somebody that I worked with to be able to just get things out as we drive and we get home and there we are back with our families again has been really cool.
I'm sure that's a blessing. And if you mentioned to share the commute, as the price of gas keeps going up, I'm sure that's a blessing too.
Yes, it has been.
What you've talked about the stress and having the chance to unwind and de-stress on the way home and diffuse everything. What are some of the difficult things you've had to do as a firefighter?
Well,
I mean, obviously, you're rescuing people at, you know, I'm sure at various times in probably some pretty dangerous situations. What would you describe as probably the most difficult?
Most of the firefighting that we do nowadays, our typical job, is not actually firefighting. I am at the busiest house in the city of Schaumburg, and when I was placed there, people said, oh, you're going to get a lot of fire. Well, in the year and a half that I've been there, we've not had one fire in our spill. We've gone and assist other houses with their fire, but we haven't had one in our response area.
So you've done a good job in terms of education, right?
That's right. That's
and
right.
Safety.
You know, public education so people can help themselves. But most of the things that we do are EMS calls, ambulance calls. We have an ambulance at our station, and the engine follows the ambulance to a medical call. Most of the things that I deal with are medical things, but not always are they your typical things that you'll see in your home, things that we're trained for. But the things that kind of get to me and they get to everybody very easily are things that deal with children. And because we don't encounter as many emergency situations with children. We have many calls with senior citizens or those that are, I would say, above the age of 50. But when you have a child that's involved in something, just even on the dispatch, everybody takes it very serious from the get-go. Every call we receive, we take serious, but there's just that extra level of this is a child we're dealing with. And I have been involved with two situations where children have died, and the first one did take a decent toll on me. It was one of those things that I just thought I would handle myself and swallow it all down in me, and it took me a while to be able to diffuse from that and finally just say to Corey one day, I'm like, okay, all these things are on my mind, they bother me about this. And it was a little girl that was hit by a car and didn't make it. And having daughters at home was difficult to separate myself from that situation.
I can imagine. Do you have what kind of support do you have as a firefighter, as a team? Do you have a chaplain or any other support for you and the other folks you work with?
We do. Our fire department does have a chaplain, but one of the things that they offer is a diffusing situation, diffusing team that can come in to help with a situation where if there has been a child involved, or if it was one of our own, that a fellow firefighter that was hurt in a situation, or just something that is very unnatural for us as a human to see, a team can be pulled together, and they are fellow firefighters that are trained in counseling, but they are outside of our department, and they come in, and you know, we sit down, and it's a safe environment to just talk about anything that we saw, anything that any reactions that we have to it, how it's affected us, and those types of things. And the city itself also offers counseling for us if we do need those types of things. The biggest way we help each other, though, is in all situations we're looking out for each other. You know, in general safety, when it comes to being in a car accident or lifting a patient or whatever. But because we live with each other for 24 hours every 3 days, we know when something's not right with somebody else. And it's one of those that says, hey, do you want to get together outside of work? And, you know, not for the purpose of just specifically talking about this, but just kind of to just ease up and just try to, you know, have a good time, just to try to, you know, realize that, you know, we did everything we could and it wasn't our fault, you know, that type of thing. So we kind of do that inside check and balance with each other most often.
Sure. Peer-to-peer support.
Right.
Tell me more about the people you work with. Are they a lot like you, or do you have a lot of diverse personalities in the group? Tell us about the folks you work with.
There, it's very rare you're going to find one identical firefighter to the next. And for the most part, that's what keeps the 24 hours entertaining. it's the first person that's going to help a firefighter when they've fallen is another firefighter. Mm-hmm. But the first person that's going to make fun of that fallen firefighter is also going to be another firefighter. we're very much there for each other in all situations, both on the job and off the job. And just when it comes to, hey, I want to build this deck, you know, we'll go as a crew and build a deck. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need help moving, you know, we all, you know, chip in and help this guy move. And it's also entertaining because we don't really need to have Google at work or internet, because if you need to know how to do something or what something means, somebody in the firehouse knows it. And if they don't know it, they know somebody that knows it. And it's just a wealth of knowledge. There's electricians and plumbers and carpenters and machinists and mechanics and everything, where I feel confident that if something goes wrong somewhere, I don't necessarily just need to go to the phone book to call somebody that I don't know. I'll just ask in the firehouse, who do we know that knows how to do this? And because there's such a variety of us, somebody in the firehouse somewhere knows how to do it.
So it sounds like you have a real strong sense of community among the firefighters, you know, among the house there, that I would guess probably develops out of not only spending time together, but also the situations in which you are working together.
Absolutely. There's a matter of trust that has to happen, not just in the dangerous to life situations, but also for ourselves, but also when we're working with people that are severely injured or whatever, where we know what these people that we're working with, what they've been trained in, and we can trust that when we say, I need this tool or I need you to do this, that it's going to get done, and that we're all making sure that it's not just it's not all serious all the time, but it's not all fun and games all the time either.
Yeah.
And so every 2 years on this department, we have the opportunity to change stations and change shifts. And I remember a year and a half ago when we changed, there was a little bit of a kind of feel out stage for a while, because not all of us had the same type of training. But now it just flows, and it flows very well.
It sounds like you really enjoy what you do and the people you work with. What are the joys of your career as a firefighter?
The joys are having a weekend after every day that I work.
That sounds nice.
That is nice. The joys are, I enjoy being looked to when somebody needs help. It's enjoyable to be a calming presence when somebody is in their most distressed time of their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to see the kids wave at the fire engine as you drive by, because you know that they really look up to you and they respect you for what you do. I do have friends that are police officers, and the difference between a police officer and a firefighter is that when a police officer comes to you, you automatically feel like you've done something wrong. It's just a natural behavior a lot of people have. But when a firefighter approaches you, you know that they're there to help, and they're on your side. So it's kind of fun to be that really good guy in a lot of people's eyes. We know that this is it can be a thankless job. It's not that people are not thankful, but it's that once we help them, we may never see them again.
Sure, your job is done, yeah.
Right. You know, we leave them at the hospital, that's it. You know, we put the fire out, we drive away. It's the surprises of people dropping by a cake or pie or donuts, the things that we have to go into the workout room and then work off. but then I remember distinctly one time.
We've got about 1 minute before our break. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just remember having somebody at my church hand me a newspaper article and said, is this you? And it was just a thank you, a random thank you in a commentary section for this wife of a gentleman that was pinned under his car that we lifted off of him. I said, you know what? That was me. So it just a out of the blue thank you. You know, we know people are thankful, but when, you know, those out of the blue ones just kind of give you that perk.
Yeah, I'm sure that the respect and the thanks that you receive when it's unexpected is probably something that is motivating and makes you want to continue on in the work that you do as well.
Correct.
Well, we are talking with James Wysocki, a firefighter in Schaumburg, Illinois. And when we come back from this break in just a little bit, we'll find out the real truth from his wife, Corey, if he's just as good at putting out fires at home as he is at work. So stick around and we'll talk with James more here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sometimes all you need is a little super glue to save a life. Ashlyn Julian was only 3 weeks old when she began to constantly scream in pain and spit up, so her mother rushed her to the hospital. Doctors at Mercy Hospital in Kansas City found the cause of Ashlyn's pain. It was an almond-sized aneurysm in her brain, which is very rare in infants. At first, they had no idea how to treat their tiny patient. Then a neurosurgeon decided to take a chance. Using a tiny, hair-thin catheter, he entered through Ashlyn's neck to reach the aneurysm and sealed it off with surgical superglue. Her doctors were surprised when it took only 1 day for her to bounce back. After a few days in the hospital, Ashlyn went home with her parents. Thank God for a creative doctor.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Even though KFUO has moved its studios to the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in St. Louis, we will continue to follow our long gospel topics of the following Sunday's Bible readings on Monday, Ruminations Tuesdays and Thursdays, Insights on Wednesdays, and Open Mic on Friday.
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Connie's dressing in white once again.
Come to think of it, I don't even know why you have a wedding dress.
And who is the groom?
Wilton! Huh? How would you like to be the future Mr. Connie Kendall?
This has been the greatest thing to happen since individual pudding cups.
It has?
Confused? Trust me, this is one adventure in Odyssey you don't want to miss.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO.
A federal appeals court has struck down a law allowing Americans born in Jerusalem to list Israel as their birthplace on their U.S. passports, a ruling that's being denounced by an American Jewish leader. A three-judge panel found that the law unconstitutionally infringes on the president's power to recognize foreign governments. The case was brought by parents of an American boy who was born in Jerusalem and wanted to list Israel as his birthplace. Malcolm Hohenlein told the Washington Conference of Christians United for Israel.
3,000 years ago, King David ruled that Jerusalem is the Jewish capital.
Hohenlein heads the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations.
It was then, it always will be.
Longstanding U.S. foreign policy says Jerusalem status should be resolved in negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians. But Hohenlein insists,
it's not presidential prerogative, it's justice.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and today we're talking with firefighter James Wysocki out of Schaumburg, Illinois. And also, we have joining us this afternoon, or this morning, we have his wife, Corey, who's going to give us the real scoop on how good he is at putting out fires, more so at home. Corey, are you with us?
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, Corey. It's so good to have you along with us. And James, you're still there too, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, Corey, has he been telling the truth so far?
pretty much, yeah.
Well, and Corey and I have something in common. We both, Corey is also a director of Christian education. So thanks for giving us some of your time. Now, you spend, you're a pretty busy person as well, correct?
I am. Probably busier now than I was when I was in full-time ministry. I get to come now with our three daughters and educate them, and it is crazy busy at our house.
Yes, homeschooling is a pretty busy job. I remember seeing some of your comments on Facebook earlier this year about homeschooling and just going to the conferences, and had to chuckle having gone to some of them myself as well. So I'm sure you stay pretty busy. So how do you all keep it together? You've got some crazy schedules. Now, did homeschooling come about as a decision? Was that one of the choices that came about because of your schedules?
It was something that came up when James left teaching, and there wasn't that option of sending the kids to one of our local Lutheran schools tuition free with Daddy anymore. And Elizabeth, you know, was only a year and a half at the time Mariah was just born, and we had some time to think about it. But there are several homeschooling families in our congregation, including our pastor, and just seeing, you know, the caliber of family they were, and how wonderful their kids were, and just was very impressed. And so I started to investigate that a little bit, and sort of bent James' ear on it. And he was, you know, being a teacher for 7 years, wasn't completely sold out at first, but God opened the doors for him to be a firefighter, opened doors for me to cut back on work hours, and then eventually come home full time, all within timing for us to start homeschooling kindergarten with Elizabeth. So it was pretty clear that this was what he was wanting our family to do.
Mm-hmm. And with both of you being trained educators, I'm sure that helps quite a bit in terms of planning and thinking things through, you know, planning for long range homeschool education.
It's been helpful as far as, you know, understanding educational philosophies and some child development things that we have. We've gone the classical education route, which I will say in training, while there's been a lot that has been helpful, there have been a couple of things where I'm like, oh, I gotta think about this differently now. But it's been all good. In fact, Elizabeth just said a couple days ago, I really miss school, Mommy, and we had been driving past the church where we have our community day, and, you know, I said, oh, well, we're starting in a few weeks again. We'll see our friends every week again. And she said, but I really like to do school with you at home, Mommy, when you're my teacher. And I just thought, oh, thank you, Jesus, for that nugget, and I'm going to hang on to it all year long.
It just melts your heart, I'm sure.
So
Corey, you're the primary educator. James, do you get to be involved with homeschool education much at all?
I do. I probably could be involved more than I have been involved. I like to think that I'm that background supporter. Corey has been trying to pull me in more, which I haven't been hesitant to per se that I don't want to do it. It's that I do laundry and I'll do yard work and shopping and whatnot and let her, you know, take the reins on it. There are days where she goes to a meeting or a Bible study or whatnot, and I'll do a few lessons. But I think now, starting this year, we're going to be more involved with actual instrument teaching. I started a little bit of piano lessons with our oldest, but I think she's real serious about doing more with the piano, so I'll be taking more of the reins on that. And I taught upper level math for 7 years, so I keep watching what they're doing with math, and I'm starting to get the itch, and I really want to do that more.
How does that work with your schedule, being gone for a day at a time? Do you think that will you still be able to work around that, especially when you get to that upper level math and approaching that topic? How do you think that's going to work with your schedule?
Well, we are just tickled by my schedule because we really have the freedom to do whatever we want as homeschooling parents. With the only employment right now is for me to be gone for 24 hours and home for 48 hours. We can take a day trip to a state park during the week when it's less popular. Mm-hmm. I can take a shift off as a vacation day, and we can have a five-day trip to, you know, to the East Coast if we wanted to see a couple of the historical sites, or even down to our state capital to see a couple of the historical sites. So even though it's not a consistent schedule as a Monday through Friday school would be as a regular classroom teacher, it's just kind of the life my girls have only ever known for me. Even our oldest was just barely, well, she wasn't even two yet when I started firefighting. So she's only really ever known me as a firefighter. So being gone for a day and then home for 2 days is all they ever know. So taking over some things and doing upper level math, really, I don't think will be a problem because the girls, that's all they've ever known from me.
Mm-hmm. So they can do the math on those other days. I know a family in our community who they chose to homeschool particularly because of dad's schedule and the business that they own, and in order for dad to get to spend time with the kids, they ended up doing homeschool primarily in the evening, or doing homeschool so that dad could spend time with them and be a part of homeschool because he was gone so much during the day, that it really worked out in their benefit. Because had they not done that, the kids would have been gone at a time, you know, they would have been busy and dad would have been busy when the kids were available. So it all worked out in the end that just by homeschooling, that actually allowed the whole family to be together more, and both parents able to be involved in the education of the children more because of their schedule. It all turned out to work in their benefit. How do you, as a team, work together? You know, when you're gone for 24 hours at a day, are you able to communicate with each other while you're gone for the day? Corey, are you able to keep in touch with James when he's on duty?
Yeah, mostly through texting, partially because the cell phone signal isn't real strong at the station where he is right now. Although on days like yesterday, I think he texted me at 2 o'clock or something, and we just had a nonstop day, so I didn't get back to him until 9 after the kids were in bed.
I feel bad sometimes when it takes me a while to get back
to our calendar, which has been helpful, so we kind of know what's coming up and who's got what going on. But that is certainly an area of our marriage and family life that we continue to tweak here and there so that we can stay on the same page or get on the same page if we're not. And it takes real intentionality and work to do that.
And that was my next question. What is it that makes those things work? What advice do you have for others, Corey? And then we'll get James' perspective as well. What does it take to make that, to really communicate? You said being intentional. Any other thoughts on that?
Gosh, yeah, I would say, I mean, if everything was to go perfectly as planned, you know, we would still talk with each other at some point during the day when he's at work. And most of the time we're pretty good about that, even if it's only a 5 or 10 minute conversation. James is really good about letting me know in the mornings kind of how his night went and what to expect for that first day home. And I think I do not necessarily just open up and tell James about all the different things of our day. He's much better at, you know, sharing what happened with him at the firehouse or things that come up or just how his day went. I sometimes am just like business, and I forget to say, oh, well, you know, we did this today. So kind of just being able to share with each other what happened in life when you weren't together, because, you know, for a firefighter's family at home, that every third day of Dad not being a part of anything that we are doing. And if he works a double shift, which happens every now and then, you know, that's two full days, and the girls can really start to miss him. So there needs to be something where you can reconnect, because it would be really easy to just kind of check out and do your own thing and have absolutely no idea of what is going on in the rest of your family's life when you're not with them.
Sure, sure. And James, what are your thoughts on maintaining healthy communication as husband and wife and as a whole family too?
Smartphones with Google Calendar. We just really, she had Google Calendar for a while, and I was the old-fashioned write it on the calendar on the wall. And now, finally, after some coaxing and training with me, I'm on Google Calendar, and it is astonishing when it comes to scheduling things, doctor's appointments or allergy shots or play dates or whatever. I can be sitting in the middle of the night after being awake for three calls and say, all right, when's my nap going to come? And to me, that it's been wonderful to homeschool the girls, but it's been wonderful for me to be able to say, yeah, honey, I got to have a nap today. I was up all night. But like Corey said, the intentionality that we take, making sure that it's not just a matter of me being there to hear her for the struggles she had at home with the girls all day, or the struggles I had at work with whatever I encountered, but just because we're living separate lives for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. I can relate to things that she's going through at home because I'm at home at times with the girls, but I'm never home with them for over 24 hours by myself on a regular basis. And she sees my job as this mysterious thing that I go off and do. She's seen pictures of it, but she's never actually seen me go into a house that's burning or walk up to a massive car accident or perform CPR on somebody.
Nor does she probably want to see that, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So to be able to be just not just in communication for the sake of getting it off her chest, but just to be able to keep the other person informed of what happens during that mysterious time that we're apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, without that backstory, it's so easy to misread what's going on in your partner's life and,
sure,
you know, think that you've done something wrong or kids have done, you know, and it might just have everything to do with what happened when you weren't with them mm-hmm. for that chunk of time.
Well, no family is perfect, and so you're right. How do you, knowing the backstory makes a difference, how do you deal with each other when you fail? James is coming home from a long shift and forgets to stop and pick up something on the way home, and that's all you were counting on all day, Corey. How do you, you laugh like it's happened. how do you deal with that when you fail one another, or when you've hurt one another? How do you deal with that in your household, James?
We've been married now 11 and a half years, and we have been very blessed in our marriage. And we feel that every marriage needs to be worked for. Marriage doesn't just happen. And it's not just a matter of routine either. We have discovered that in the 11 and a half years we've been married and the, holy smokes, 15 and a half years that we've known each other, that we've changed as individuals. And there was a point about 5-6 years ago that we noticed this change happening, but went on as life had been for a while. And marriage was a struggle at that point. And it wasn't a matter of not forgiving each other and not loving each other. It was, why is what I've done for so many years not working anymore? And it took some intentionality for us to sit down and say, why do you not like when I do this? I did that for the past 5 years. And now you think you're appalled when this happened. And it was a matter of hitting the reset button and saying, I'm sorry, I don't like that anymore. And I'm sorry I didn't tell you that. You know, and just basically, it's more than just being intentional. It's just talking. And having children enter the marriage is probably the biggest part. We don't blame the children by any means.
At least not out loud.
Right. We don't blame each other as well. It was an experience that we had never dealt with before, to be able to say, what's wrong with you? You know, you're not who you were. And there was just that children factor that we have seen in a lot of marriages. When children come along, the husband and wife love that children more than the other spouse, which is very easy to do, but you got to remember that marriage first, not neglecting the children in the process. But mm-hmm. you don't have a strong marriage. Your children are going to be with you for a short time, and then you're stuck with somebody that you don't even know anymore.
The clear communication is what I'm hearing from both of you, that you have clear communication, and not just clear communication, but regular communication is what I'm hearing. Is that what you'd say, Corey?
I would say that is something we have certainly learned to add to our schedule. We're still trying to figure that out, but the need and importance of it, we both understand. So it's, you know, at least we're on the same page with that, and we can give each other grace when life gets a little hectic, or, you know, those times together are fewer or more far between than we would like. But really, if we don't have that, like I said before, it's really easy to just kind of be two people living in the same house that you don't, you know, mm-hmm. you're not that team. So, because you're changing, you know, none of us are staying the same. And I think we've noticed in our marriage, especially with the career changes and just everything else that life can throw at you, sometimes you need to rediscover one another, and you can't make assumptions, which is mm-hmm. really easy to do. You know, you can't assume that your spouse is always going to think about things the same way all the time, you know, because God's working on each of us and growing us and maturing us, and so we need to share that with one another too. But certainly having it scheduled, you know, I would listen to that for years, different marriage things. Oh, schedule that time together. Make sure you got weekly this or daily that, and da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah. And now I'm going, wow, they aren't kidding. You've got to have that. You know, and like, for example, with the Google Calendar, I mean, when we're fitting everything into our life, it's easy to fill up every single piece of white space. So if we don't put in there mm-hmm. date night, or, you know, look ahead and go, okay, family day, it's just going to get filled up with a bunch of other stuff. So you have to, it's a matter of prioritizing and forgiving one another and pushing the reset button when you've gotten too far away from what you know needs to happen.
Absolutely. There are always things begging for our time, whether it's, you know, activities for kids, or it's willing to eat up our time. And mm-hmm. so being intentional about how we spend our time is so valuable, so important. My wife and I, too, share a Google Calendar, and it does make a huge difference. It makes it a lot easier to communicate about things. Just having a real-time calendar that we both can share, we can both see from just about anywhere on our phones or on the computer, it really does make a big difference. Now, granted, we'll still check with one another before we put something on the calendar and make sure it's something that the other wants to do, but It has been a huge, huge blessing in our life to be able to look at those calendars and see what's coming up for the week, and see what she's got going on at work, what I have going on at work, and those types of things. Has been very helpful. We'll be, the Lord has blessed us, and we're adding a child to the family here in probably in September. We're expecting our first child, and so I'm curious to see how that plays out in our family as well. As you mentioned, careers and adding children to the marriage certainly can change your perception of things, your perception of how you and what the of the other of your spouse's actions. It can change your perception of who you are. It can change your perception on a lot of things. So I'm curious to see how.
Thank you, amount of sleep you get. A whole lot of dynamics in the household.
Now, you probably, I'm guessing, James, with your schedule of being on for 24 hours, are you expected to be awake during that whole 24 hours? hours, if you don't have a call or anything like that, what's that like for you, and how does that affect sleep schedules?
The way that it's presented to us is that we are on call for 24 hours, and there are expectations that we have from the department, but also of each other, where we do some sort of training every day, whether it's actually going out and pulling hose and flowing water, or working as a tabletop exercise, or reviewing standard operating procedures and medical procedures, those types of things. There's a nice, very nice workout room that we have, and we're asked to do a half-hour workout every day. And if you did just a half-hour workout every day, it really wouldn't be very effective. So we're allowed to be in there for however long we want. But yes, we do have our own beds at the station, and it's still astonishing to Corey as to how, when the tones go off, I can jump out of bed, get dressed, and jump on the rig and drive it away to an emergency. Yet when a child is crying in the next room, I struggle to even hear that and move while she hears it before I do and goes and takes care of it.
So we just have to set up the baby monitor so it sounds like the sirens are the alarms at the station then. Is that what you have you found one like that yet, Corey?
I haven't found that one yet. Nope.
Well, it sounds like you have you certainly have your sights set on being faithful in all that you do, and especially in taking care of one another and taking care of your family. Every good leader, every good husband or man or and wife usually have mentors or someone that set an example for them. We've got about a minute and a half or so. Corey, do you have a mentor? And then we'll go to James too.
I would say there's been a couple homeschooling moms that are most currently my mentors, my tightest two women. And one is our pastor's wife, another is our pastor's sister, and a couple other gals from our community day just have been so encouraging, and they get it. And, they're faithful women of God.
Excellent. So you have a couple to look to. James, anybody that's really been a good example for you or been a good mentor to you?
It's funny, Corey and I just talked about this just last week for me. I lost my grandfather at the end of January, and he was a huge, perfect example of an earthly, devout man of God, and just was not only did the church every Sunday thing, but just lived out Christ's love. And he never had a church job, was never a pastor or a DCE or a teacher or anything. He was a trade plumber, and then he worked retail in Sears for so many years. But just to hear all the positive things since he's passed away come to me, you know, just how great of an example he was for me and how blessed I was to have him in my life is going to live with me for quite a few years.
Well, what a blessing to have a family like that, and for you to have each other and all those around you to support you in your vocation. Corey and James, it has been great having you on Faith and Family today. We continue to pray God's blessings for you as you serve one another and your community. Thanks for joining us, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Andy.
Well, we have more great guests coming up later on this week on Faith and Family as we talk with parents in demanding careers. Thanks so much to our underwriters, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Stick around for Moments of Assurance here on Worldwide KFUO.